If you're an employed physician, chances are your malpractice insurance is being provided for you. And while that is certainly convenient, there may be some limitations in your malpractice policy that you're not aware of. For this reason, many providers wonder if they should get supplemental malpractice insurance. So today we're going to talk about why you might want to consider getting additional coverage and what kind of insurance you should get. Plus, we'll talk about what supplemental insurance does and does not cover. Stay tuned. Welcome to Malpractice Insights, the show dedicated to helping healthcare professionals understand medical malpractice insurance and providing you with the solutions you need so that you can get back to the work of practicing good medicine. My name is Jennifer Wiggins, CEO of Aegis Malpractice Solutions, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. All right, let's jump in. If you're self-employed, you've likely already gone through the process of shopping around for your own malpractice coverage. But if you're working as an employee of a hospital, network, or medical group, you've probably never had to do it before, and that can be a little intimidating. When a physician is insured through an employer, it's not safe to assume that your malpractice policy will automatically cover outside work, such as telemedicine, moonlighting, or locum tenens. Most employed physicians' malpractice policies are not written on a broad form. They are limited scope and duty policies. And here's what that means. This means that your policy only covers you for claims related to the work that you do for that employer. If the incident that led to a complaint falls outside the scope of your job description or falls within a policy exclusion, you may not have coverage. Furthermore, if you provide professional medical services outside the scope of your employment, maybe it's some volunteer work that you do or helping out at your church camp, or even as a favor to your neighbor, the malpractice insurance policy that you have with your employer may not cover you. Good Samaritan laws protect you only in emergency situations, so this is where supplemental malpractice insurance comes in handy. So before we jump into talking about the particulars of cost and insurance types, I want to pause to further explain what supplemental insurance does and doesn't cover. Okay, so what does it cover? Supplemental malpractice insurance covers any work that the carrier approves that is not already insured by another policy. It does not stack on top of another policy, meaning it doesn't provide you with additional coverage above and beyond what the primary policy would pay for you. It sits alongside that insurance policy to cover additional exposures for you. Let's say, for example, that the policy that you have through your employer does not give you consent to settle. Well, you can't buy a supplemental malpractice policy that does provide consent to fill in the gaps on that policy. Supplemental insurance isn't intended to fill in the various aspects of your primary insurance that aren't preferable. The intent of supplemental insurance is to cover additional work that the primary policy cannot insure. Many carriers offer moonlighting policies or part-time malpractice insurance policies at a discounted rate, so obtaining additional coverage is generally affordable. Having supplemental malpractice insurance for work that you do outside of your employment provides additional peace of mind and the coverage that you need to explore other opportunities. So, how much does it cost for a supplemental malpractice policy? Well, that depends on a few factors. The carrier will price your supplemental coverage based primarily on, number one, your specialty or what kind of work you'll be doing. Number two, where you'll be practicing. Number three, how often you'll be practicing. And number four, what kind of insurance you want, occurrence or claims made. Let's say you're an employed anesthesiologist and you work in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you have an opportunity to contract at a local dentist's office to do some in-house anesthesia for dental procedures one day a week. Well, your employer's malpractice insurance policy likely will not cover you for this additional work, so you'll need to secure supplemental insurance. But since you're only working one day a week, you won't be paying for a full-time policy. If a full-time policy costs approximately $13,000 a year, a supplemental malpractice insurance policy may only cost you $5,000 to $6,000 a year. And depending on the amount of coverage that you need, the price might be even lower. So, what kind of malpractice insurance policy is best for supplemental coverage? Occurrence or claims made? Well, if you have an occurrence policy, your malpractice coverage is triggered based on when the incident actually occurred. If you have a claims made policy, your malpractice coverage is triggered based on when the claim is made against you. Claims made premiums are less expensive upfront. They start at a lower rate and they increase in price every year for about 5 years. After the fifth year, the premium is considered mature, and the rate generally stays the same from that point on. But with a claims made policy, once you cancel the coverage, you must secure tail insurance in order to be covered into the future for any claims that may be filed against you for services that you rendered back to the start date of your policy. Occurrence premiums cost a little more on an annual basis, but there is no stepping up in price every year, and there's no tail insurance required at the end. So here's what this might look like for our anesthesia friend working at the dentist's office. If he buys an occurrence policy, it may cost him $6,000 per year for each year that he carries the insurance. Let's assume that he does this work for 10 years. So that would be $6,000 times 10 years, so $60,000 total. If he buys a claims-made policy, the price will start low and then increase every year for 5 years. It may cost him $2,000 for the first year, and then $3,000 the second year, and then $4,500 the third year, $5,000 the fourth year, and then $5,700 for the fifth year. After year five, the rate will stay around $5,700 per year. But when he cancels the policy after 10 years, then he'll have to buy tail. Tail insurance is generally 2 times the mature premium, so he might pay around $11,400 for his tail policy. If you do the math for this scenario after 10 years, the doctor would be paying $60,100 if he gets a claims-made policy with tail. So, which policy type is best for supplemental insurance? Well, it's really up to you. If you'd prefer to have a lower rate to get started, then the claims-made policy is probably the best fit for you. But keep in mind the gradual rate increase and the tail obligations at the end. If you don't mind paying a little more on an annual basis and you prefer the flexibility of an occurrence policy, since there is no tail requirement, then that's probably the best option for you. It's important for you to have all of this information going into any discussions for moonlighting or additional contract work so that you can weigh the cost-benefit of the engagement to make sure it's a good fit for you. Often we'll have doctors buy a supplemental malpractice policy for one specific job, like this dental example. But after that opportunity is over, instead of canceling the policy, they'll just keep it active and have it to cover them for other work that they may want to do in the future. It's not uncommon for a doctor to carry his supplemental policy with minimum coverage all the way until retirement, just to have insurance in place for any other work that he might want to pick up along the way. If you carry your claims-made policy all the way until retirement, most carriers will give you free tail insurance once you've fully retired from the practice of medicine, which makes the claims-made coverage option much more affordable. If you have any questions on this topic or you want to make sure that you're covered appropriately, click the link in the description box below where you can connect with us via phone, email, or chat today. And if you're listening, please visit us online at aegismalpractice.com. And don't forget that our mailbag link is now live on our website. So if you have a question that you would like me to answer here on the podcast, check out the link below where you can drop us a line and then ask your question. Or you can schedule a quick 10-minute phone call for a personal consultation to discuss your unique insurance needs. This is Jennifer Wiggins. Thanks for joining us.